I'd like to ask two questions to Emmanuel and Deepthi in relation to what we have been studying. And this is the first question. When is it most difficult to demonstrate grace in your spouse or on your spouse?
Wife first.
Okay. I don't want to be general, but just a specific incident. Of late, we've been, as a family, we've gone through a lot of changes. Emmanuel going to school and Isaac coming into our lives. It's been a lot of adjustment. So when it's become like a routine thing, when Emmanuel gets back home, he sees things not in place. He gets really stressed out and, you know, vents out all his anger on me. And I'm like, you know, is this all? Is this it? Is this how life is going to be from now? So I think the element of forgiveness comes in then, and it's been really difficult for me to forgive him and show grace to him, and I've really struggled. It's been a challenge, and I'm being honest and telling you that it's been a struggle and a lot of stress. So, yeah.
Well, she showed a little bit of grace to me, but now it's my turn. Well, at Subhashana's house, I watched this movie, Bharya Sugrudh. You guys should watch that. And someone said, wife is like a rearview mirror. You know, you've got to see the rearview mirror to see who is coming behind you. Otherwise, you'll be in danger. And Deepthi has been my rearview mirror. So sometimes she's a little slow. You know, if I'm walking fast, she's a little slow. And sometimes I feel, why is she not as fast as I am? But I think that's a time God sometimes reminds me that he has been patient with me and he's been gracious. And so looking at Deepthi, sometimes it's frustrating, but when I realize how much God has been patient with me in my life, you know, we all know the song, it took just a week for him to make the moon and the stars, but it's still working on me. So patience is what I try to exercise and be gracious to Deepthi.
Wonderful. And we will give him, you know, let it be fair to him. One more question. What have you understood about God's grace as a result of your marriage?
I think, grace again and forgiveness. I have failed miserably and I've been very unfaithful to God. But God has been more than loving to forgive me and never give up on me. That's what, you know, comes to my mind every time we go through something. And if you look at, you know, marriages around the world today, you know, you do it the first time, second time, and third time, and that's the end of the marriage. You know, you're like, let's go for a divorce. That's how it is. But I think because of Jesus and his forgiveness and what he did for me on the cross, it makes it more meaningful that I forgive Emmanuel and show him grace and move on with life.
You know, someone said marriage is like husband-wife being a coin. You know, two sides of the same coin. They don't want to face each other. And sometimes it's been like that for us. But Deepthi, in our relationship, in our marriage, I think God has time and again reminded me of the love that he has for us as a couple. In fact, the verse that was for our wedding was Romans 5:5. He poured out his love into our hearts. And that is the only reason. You know, sometimes when I look back, we've just been married 3 years and a little over, but we wouldn't have stuck together if God wouldn't have been the glue in our lives. Wow. He has been so gracious. And, you know, the first 6 months, mashed potato state, or whatever you call, you know, when you really get to know each other, I used to ask her, is this the same girl that I knew? She was completely different, a new Deepthi under one roof. But God has been reminding us. And someone said, God is love because he's triune. God exercised love among himself, the Godhead. And that is what I've learned in our relationship. And we are still learning. And it's tough, but it's good. So an encouragement for all the bachelors, finding a spouse is a good thing.
One second. I'll just pray for you. Manuel and Deepthi are moving to you know, God willing, to Fort Worth pretty soon. And Emmanuel is going back and forth, and, you know, life is not that easy. We'll pray that God will just protect them, provide for them, and we will also remember to pray for them. And they have been such a blessing to us, and they will continue to be a blessing. But, you know, when they make some of the decisions, we'll pray that God will give them guidance. We'll just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are in our life. Every day we receive grace from you. Lord, every minute we don't deserve, but you choose to give us. We thank you for Emmanuel and Dipti and Isaac. Bless them, Lord, as they make decisions to move to Fort Worth, and they will continue to be part of Crossroad family. They mean a lot to us, and Lord, they have been playing such an important role with us. We pray that you will bless them. Meet all their financial needs, Lord, physical needs, emotional needs, and they will be able to accomplish what you take them there for. And also, when they are there, they will continue to be a blessing to all of us. Now, Lord, you speak to us from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Manuel. We have been studying God-centered marriage. I don't know about you. For me, it has been a life change. I've been learning a lot from the preparation of the sermon. One thing I just prepare, another thing that becomes a life application to me. What I share here is, first of all, a life application. So, you know, as I said last week and the previous week, I wish I had known what we have been studying here. Sometimes we may think, oh, this is only for married people, husband and wife. I'm not married. You know, some of you may be thinking. But I believe that what we are studying will prepare you for your future life. And also, this will have a lot of life application for your personal life. You may have friends, and you may be relating to your parents, your brothers. And whatever we are studying here, particularly in this series, is going to help us out. One thing that revolutionized these days is the triangle that I learned from Prem and Kathy is this. Man and woman, they are world apart. They have a lot of differences, and they have a lot of cultural preferences. They will remain in two poles unless they have God at the center. This is how they described, when you have God at the center, when both man and woman look at God, as they move towards God, the difference that is there in the middle becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And one day, the difference will vanish or diminish, and we will be found in God. That is the time we will actually enjoy that fullness of marriage. That is where we need to target. That is why, you know, we say marriage is not just between two people. Actually, marriage is among three people, husband, wife, and God. And I have been always saying marriage is a theological exercise. Some of you may be thinking, what is this theological exercise? Are we discussing about seminary studies? Not really. In our marriage, we are actually understanding who God is. Something like our marriage life illustrates who God is, and God illustrates how we are too. That is what we discussed in the previous lessons. I don't want to go back and take our time, but one thing we have to see is marriage is a theological exercise. Someone said one's marriage relationship is a reflection of one's relationship with God. How a person relates to his spouse or her spouse is a reflection of how that person's relationship is with God. In other words, it is not possible to love God if we don't have a right relationship with one another. And our relationship as husband and wife directly affects our relationship with God. In other words, if we are very strong in our relationship with God, it positively affects our relationship with husband and wife. I have heard some people saying they have had best emotional and physical intimacy when they were so close with God. You know, so marriage relationship is a theological exercise, and it is very much with God. Without God, probably we will not be able to have the best out of our marriage. We will continue our study today. Today happens to be the final session on this topic, and topic is going to be grace in marriage. Before that, I would like to just revise what we discussed last few weeks. We learned that in marriage relationship, we don't have superiority, inferiority, but we have mutuality. And also in the marriage relationship, we need to strive for nurturing relationship. It is not one-way traffic, but it is a two-way traffic, nurturing. How I can nurture the other person. And, you know, we take opportunities to nurture one another. And last week, we studied a passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We said Holy Spirit is not the content of filling. Instead, He is the one who fills us with the presence of God. In other words, we have to give our life, our marriage life to God, and Holy Spirit comes and helps us and mend our relationship. That is where we studied the word, what is the meaning of subordinate? Is it inferiority, subordination, or subserviency, or in a mutuality? What I believe, in light of what we discussed, the meaning of the word subordinate is actually mutuality. It is an opportunity one takes to go and meet the other person's need. Today we are going to read only one verse, and we will expound that word verse a little bit. It is found in Hosea. Some people pronounce as Hosea, whichever it is. It is one of the minor prophets just after Ezekiel, Daniel. And we will go there. This book has 14 chapters. And it's an amazing book. This was actually written down in the late part of 1700s. Hosea was a prophet, and he was asked to marry a prostitute in order to illustrate Jehovah's, God's relationship with the nation Israel. Hosea sacrificed for the sake of his relationship with the Lord, and he went and married a prostitute by name Gomer. Even after their marriage, Gomer continued to live a wayward life. She was not faithful to her husband. But when we come to chapter 3, this is what Jehovah says, God says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.'" What is the lesson we learn from the whole book of Isaiah is this: we must relate to our spouse just as God relates to the nation Israel. I'll repeat that again. We must relate to our spouse just as God relates to the nation Israel. We will just see how God relates to nation Israel, or how God relates to us. And I would like to just take us through three verses quickly. In Psalm 103, verse 10, it says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor rewards us according to our iniquities." It's a powerful verse. You know, before I became a follower of Christ, before I became a born-again believer, my idea of God was fearsome. Whenever I went to places of worship, I thought God was fearsome because the pictures I had was terrifying to me, because of the weapons, because of the features of what I saw in the worship places. I thought God is fearsome and I cannot get close to God. After I became a believer, and when I was reading Psalm 103 and the whole Psalm, particularly Psalm 103 verse 10, it completely changed my idea. It says, "He does not deal with me according to my sins, and He does not repay me according to my transgressions." Wow, it's amazing. And when you read Psalm 103, Psalm lists several things with a comma. There he says, he forgives, he heals, He shows compassion. He crowns you with righteousness. He fills you with good things. He takes your sins as far as the east is from the west. And He fills you with all the blessings as far as the heaven is from earth. It's unbelievable. Shattered my idea of God. He does not deal with me according to my deeds and many iniquities. Another verse is Romans 5 verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for me. That is another passage that shattered my understanding of God. Is, you know, I was not desirous, you know, I was not an attractive to God, and I was sinful. While I was still a sinner, Christ chose to die for me. That is how our God deals with us. The lesson we learn from the book of Hosea is, we need to deal with our spouse just as God deals with us. He deals with us like this from Romans 5:8. He died for us even when we were sinners or transgressors. Another passage, John 3:17. For God did not send His Son to this world to judge the world, but the world should be saved through Him. Again, you know, it changed the paradigm of my understanding. I thought God incarnated in this world to destroy some of the unrighteous people or some of the sinners. And I grew up with the stories like that. But I come to John 3:16. It says God did not send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world not to condemn but to save. John 3:16 says God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life, but they will not perish. That is how God deals with us. The lesson we learn from these three verses is, God does not give up on us, but continually shows us His grace. You know, He continuously shows His grace. He does not give up on us. That is what Deepthi mentioned just a few minutes back. That God did not give up on me. If God has to deal with me the way I behave and the way I live my life, probably I will not even survive for a minute, because God is so just and righteous. But He chose to save me. He chose to die for me. And He chose to ignore all my iniquities and transgressions. And He wanted to show my grace, His grace. And not just one time, continuously, now and in future. The lesson that I learn from these Bible verses is, God does not give up on me, but He continuously gives me grace. So, how does it affect our sermon today? How do we show grace to our spouse? You know, I'm not talking about just a husband showing grace to his wife. And I'm not just talking about grace, wife showing to the husband. Sometime, a lot of wives listen to the sermon for the husbands. They say, just listen. It's for you. Same thing, husband cannot tell. You know, he is not bold enough to tell. But he'll say, this is the sermon for you. Just listen. I have heard several times people saying, you know, wish I was there. You know, wish you were there for the sermon. It was so good for you. But this is for both of us. All of us here. You know, we just go back to Gomer. Gomer broke her marriage covenant. Although she was married to Hosea, she was unfaithful. Went after other men, and she bore two children. And she led an undesirable lifestyle. She brought hurts to herself and to the family. And no merits she had to receive Hosea's love. You know, some of the things you can think of, how Gomer lived, I cannot even put myself in Hosea's shoes. She did not have anything that she deserved for Hosea's love. But you look at Hosea here, when God came and told him, Hosea was forgiving, he was restoring, not accusing, he was not chiding, he was not finding fault with her, he was not appreciating, she was he was content with who she is. It's so powerful. You know, we have several lists here. How do we show grace to our spouse? Forgiving. That is what we read in Hosea. He forgave her. In that just one verse, he was so angry with her. He was a zealous husband. You know, we can hear stories, we can see movies about, you know, spouses' unfaithfulness. But when it comes to our own life, it's so difficult. You know, we cannot sleep. We cannot even rest for a minute. We cannot focus on something. But Hosea, when God commanded him, he went and bought her back again or took her again. And he was forgiving. He was restoring. And he was content with his spouse. And he was not accusing. He was not finding fault with her, not chiding always. And I see this one in the New Testament several places. Jesus, when he taught his disciples how to pray, this is how he taught them. You know, one of the sentences is, "Forgive us our sins, even as we forgive the sins of our debtors." And we see the story of the prodigal son. Son hurt the father. He disrespected him, went away from his family, and he brought so much of disrespect and dishonor to the whole family. When son came back to the father, father had no question whatsoever. He did not chide him. He did not find fault with him. He did not accuse him. He completely restored him. What a picture of God's grace here. What a picture of the grace in relationships. You know, the example we have in book of Hosea is an extreme one. Wife is unfaithful. You know, in some cases, husband may be unfaithful. But, you know, think of some of the family issues. It can all start with small personality issues. Oh, you did not keep the house clean. When I came, I'm so tired. See, things are scattered. And that spirals down, one after another. Then he's very angry. She is very angry. And they both go to sleep without prayer. And they get up again not having breakfast. And that spirals down and magnifies bigger and bigger and bigger. I know the story of a man whose sins were forgiven, whose debts were forgiven. He owed 500 talents to king. King said, "I'm going to write up all your debts." And he comes and he sees his debtor who owed only 50 talents. And he just asked him, "Give me my money back." And he said, "Sir, I don't have the money." And he just, he assaulted him. And he put him in jail and he said, "You have to give me this money." King heard about this one. "Hey, I showed this much grace. He owed 500 talents. I wrote off everything. And he's not able to forgive even 50 talents that he owed, the other guy owed him." And, you know the story in the gospel. A lot of time, we receive God's grace in abundance. God forgives us. But a lot of time, we are unable to forgive our spouse when they are genuinely tired or genuinely they don't understand. I have done several mistakes and I continue to do. You know, God's word is a two-edged sword. It pierces the preacher and it pierces the people who hear. And no one is exempt. A healthy marriage begins when there is grace. That grace, where do we learn the paradigm, ultimate paradigm for grace is our God. God asked Hosea to play his role. When he was demonstrating how he relates to nation Israel, Hosea became God there. In the sense, he took God's role and he said, "Go and love Gomer, regardless of Gomer's lifestyle." You know, in our marriage relationship sometime, that is what God is asking us to do. The word in chapter 3 verse 1, he says, "Go show your love." Go show your love. It is a Hebrew word is ahab. You know, there are several other words for love in Hebrew, but this word, the meaning of this word is a romantic loyalty. How can this happen when wife is unfaithful, when she is not loyal to her husband, when she has brought a dishonor to the family, when she has broken the covenant relationship and covenant contract, and still he is saying, show loyal romantic love to your wife. It's difficult. And God is saying, that is how I'm loving you every day. He is loving us every day with that loyal romantic covenant love. When Jesus Christ stands before the Father as our high priest, that is happening every day. I am receiving God's grace every day, and God continues to love me as His apple of His eyes. Hosea is commanded to show this love, though he was the offended. That's interesting. Hosea was offended, and he makes the first move. Probably she was staying far away, that is why he had to go and buy her back, according to chapter 3. But he goes, although he was offended. That is what we see in the gospel. When we had offended God, when we were living far away from Him, He came in search of us. What an amazing thing. That is called grace. When we have offended, but the party who is offended by us, he makes an initiative and he comes and relates to us and he is willing to die for us. That is called grace. Sometime back we defined the meaning of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor when we deserve the opposite. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve to be put in the dungeon. We deserve to die immediately. But God forgives and He makes us righteous, and He chooses to call us righteous instead of condemned people. That is called mercy. That is called grace. That is what we need to have in our marriage life between husband and wife. Sometimes we may say, wow, it is idealistic. I'm thinking, you know, it is difficult. It is idealistic. But it is not impossible. If God can do it, we can do it. Because our marriage illustrates God's relationship with us. And particularly the book of Hosea, that illustrates how God relates to nation Israel. And that is how He wants us to show our grace to our spouse, both husband and wife. What grace is not? A lot of time, people may say, okay, today the preacher said, you have show grace. I'm going to live however I want. I'm expecting you as a mature believer. You show grace to me. But we will see what grace is not. Grace is not a license to continue one's unacceptable behavior or attitude. That is what we read in Romans 6:1. Sometime we take grace for granted and we say, okay, grace abounds. Let me just go and live however I want. But grace is a provision to be empowered to transform from within. God continuously shows us His grace so that we will be transformed from within. When we take initiative, even though we are the offended, go and ask forgiveness or go and relate to our spouse regularly and continuously, what will eventually happen is there will be a transformation, because you know, it is based on God's love, and we do it with prayer. That will empower the other person to relate to us the way that person needs to relate. So the key is grace that has to stem from us. Grace is not a kind of weakness in the part of the one who shows. That is what we see in most of the Eastern countries is, oh, you are so weak. People think that, you know, if you ask forgiveness, people think that you are a weak person. Not at all. We are strong when we show grace to other person. It is a kind of strength, maturity, and an imitation of our Heavenly Father. So what I pray in my marriage life is, Lord, help me model You. Even as You modeled Your relationship through Hosea and Gomer, Lord, help me in several ways, from small things. Even Emmanuel said, you know, I'm not able to understand why my wife is not able to walk with me. And it's the same problem with me. I may sometimes think, why is she not walking with me? And some of us may be thinking, why is she walking so far from me? You know, that can bring a rift in our family. Sometimes we may say, you know, why I'm not getting good food at home? I'm working hard, 16 hours, 17 hours. You know, when I come home, I'm not getting food. Should I go out and eat food? Then I don't relate to my spouse, maybe husband or wife. That is where grace has to come, because our relationship, when we show grace, it is going to be cultivated, it is going to be nurtured, and we are going to illustrate God in our life. As usual, always. I'd like to leave two takeaways or two principles which are going to be amazingly useful for us. Before that, we'll let us just watch a video.
Caleb, if I were to ask you why you're so frustrated with Catherine, what would you say?
She's stubborn. She makes everything difficult for me. She's ungrateful. She's constantly griping about something.
Has she thanked you for anything you've done the last 20 days?
No! And you'd think after I wash the car, I change the oil, do the dishes, clean the house, that she would try to show me a little bit of gratitude.
Well, she doesn't. In fact, when I come home, she makes me feel like I'm an enemy. I'm not even welcome in my own home, Dad. That is what really ticks me off.
Dad, for the last 3 weeks, I have bent over backwards for her. I have tried to demonstrate that I still care about this relationship. I bought her flowers, which she threw away. I have taken her insults and her sarcasm, but last night was it. I made dinner for her. I did everything I could to demonstrate that I care about her, to show value for her, and she spat in my face. She does not deserve this, Dad. I am not doing it anymore. How am I supposed to show love to somebody over and over and over who constantly rejects me?
That's a good question.
Dad, that is not what I'm doing.
Isn't it?
No. Dad, that is not what this is about.
Son, you just asked me. How can someone show love over and over again when they're constantly rejected? Caleb, the answer is, you can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have. I couldn't truly love your mother until I understood what love really was. It's not because I get some reward out of it. I've now made a decision to love your mother whether she deserves it or not. Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it. Even though you've rejected him, spat in his face. God sent Jesus to die on the cross and take the punishment for your sin because he loves you. The cross was offensive to me until I came to it. But when I did, Jesus Christ changed my life. That's when I truly began to love your mom. Son, I can't settle this for you. This is between you and the Lord. But I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Can't you see that you need him? Can't you see that you need his forgiveness?
Yes.
Will you trust him with your life?
That is why our marriage illustrates who God is. And in our relationship, may God give us abundant grace. When whenever we come into a relationship like this, two things we can do. One is get a better glimpse of how God deals with you. Get a better glimpse of how God deals with you. He forgives me every day. When I reject Him, when I go away from Him, He comes after me. He does not give up on me and continuously give me grace. The more and more we love God, the more and more we will be able to show grace. The next point I'd like to do is imitate God in your dealing with your spouse. That is what Hosea did. He imitated God when he dealt with Gomer. Even though she did not deserve it, he did it. Marriage is a place where we imitate God. We cannot imitate God if we don't really know Him. We know Him when we know Jesus Christ. He who came down to this world died on the cross for us. As we conclude this series, God-centered marriage, we learned a lot of principles. And finally, we can say, without God, there is no marriage. We need to have God at the center. To have God at the center, to know Him more and more, and to imitate Him, we need to make a decision today. If there is anyone here this evening who does not know Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about changing a religion. I'm not talking about brainwashing someone. Is there anyone here who has not made a relationship with God? It's very simple. Making a relationship with God is just, receive what God offered through our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We don't need to spend our money. We don't need to change our religion. We don't need to change our nationality. All we need to do is, Lord, I believe You. I know that You came down to this world. You sent Your Son to this world because You love me. You love me. Even though I am a sinner, still You send our Lord Jesus Christ to this world. I believe that. What You offered on the cross, Lord, that forgiveness, I want that. We can ask the Lord. And God will give us that forgiveness. That is the very reason Jesus Christ came to this world. That is the very reason He died on the cross for us. That is the very reason He shed all His blood and died. We can ask Him, God, give us. Bible says He will never withhold good things from us. And He wants to make a relationship with you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, this God, except through our Lord Jesus Christ. If there is anyone who wants to make that relationship, we are going to just close our eyes for a minute. And I'm going to pray. Before that, if you like to just put your hand up, you can do that. And if you are a little shy, you don't want to do it, maybe you can talk to me at the end of the service, at the end of the communion. It's very simple. Lord, I want what You offered on the cross for me. Forgive me. Will You forgive me, Lord? I want You to be my Lord and Savior. You can ask. All others can just close their eyes and we'll just spend this few minutes, few seconds in God's presence. And if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can show your hand up. And hallelujah. I see your hand, brother. Thank You. Thank You. I'll talk to you later. Thank You very much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You.